A local Haleski company strikes a plea deal with a U.S. attorney, and how some residents plunged into the new year. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Department of Justice this week filed criminal charges against a Haynes heliskiing company for repeatedly operating tours on federal lands without a permit. The violations came to light because of a fatal accident within the off-limits area in March of last year. The news made the Anchorage and Fairbanks papers on Wednesday. In documents filed in U.S. District Court this week, attorneys claim Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures, or SEBA, operated heliski tours in an area regulated by the Bureau of Land Management. The federal agency requires commercial tour companies apply for and receive permits from the agency to operate on the land. SEBA had the appropriate permits from 2002 to 2006. Then, before the 2007 season began, BLM closed the area to tours and didn't grant permits in order to conduct studies on the Ring of Fire plan. SEBA applied for a permit for the same area in 2011, but was told the area was still closed. But the company admits in a proposed plea deal filed in court that it still conducted tours in the area. The land in question includes a section just southwest of Haynes near Garrison Glacier in the Kicking Horse Valley. It includes a 60-degree mountain slope that's considered an expert ski run and informally named for a longtime SEBA client. Assistant U.S. Attorney Andrea Stewart says the permit violations came to light because of the accident in March that claimed the life of a SEBA employee, Christian Cabanella, and injured two clients.
In this particular case, it came to our attention only because of the fatality. And then looking into it, it turned out it was an ongoing pattern and practice of the organization.
The Haynes Borough regulates the heliskiing industry in areas within the borough. Heliskiing companies are required to provide GPS coordinates to the borough after any accident or fatality. After submitting the coordinates of the March 3rd accident, it became apparent the company was operating technically within borough-designated heliski bounds, but on BLM land closed to use. The agency began an investigation and turned the issue over to the Department of Justice because operating on the land without a permit is considered trespassing, Stewart says.
Criminal trespass, yeah, there's a statute that makes it criminally illegal. There are also potential administrative penalties as well.
In the plea deal, SEBA acknowledges operating 54 tours since 2011 in that same area without a permit. The company agreed to pay a $10,000 fine plus $11,500 in restitution, the amount the company would have paid in permit fees for the land use. The company will also be on probation for 2 years and agrees to provide BLM with GPS data to ensure compliance with tour area boundaries. One of SEBA's owners, Nick Trimble, was reached at home in Haynes on Wednesday, but did not want to comment on the case because the plea agreement has not yet been approved by a judge. That is expected to take place by the end of the month. The Haynes Borough earlier this year fined SEBA $500 for violating conditions of its borough permit by not having all the other necessary state and federal permits to conduct its business. The borough also reduced the number of skier days the company could use when it was issued its 2014 borough permit. The assembly approved allowing Alaska Mountain Guides to transfer some of its skier days to SEBA for use of the 2014 season. Heliskiing has become a controversial issue in Haynes lately. While it accounts for a large portion of winter tourism, the way the industry is regulated by the borough creates friction between industry supporters and some residents concerned by noise and impacts on wildlife. Some residents say this latest development highlights issues with the industry. Eric Hawley is president of Lincoln Isle Conservation. The group advocates for consistent regulation of the heliski industry in Haynes by the borough.
What we would hope to see come from this is that the borough itself would take a deeper look at what's been going on here, look at the GPS tracks for recent years, and see in what areas outside of the BLM areas that SEBA's been operating in violation of the Haynes Borough Ordinance.
Interim Borough Manager Julie Causey said in an email she is discussing the issue with BLM and will report to the Assembly at its next meeting. Borough code allows the manager to suspend or revoke a commercial tour permit for non-compliance or violations. Albert Kukesh is stepping down as board chairman for Sea Alaska, the regional native corporation for Southeast. He'll leave the post at about the same time Sealaska CEO Chris McNeil retires. Kukesh, a former state lawmaker from Mangoon, has been Sealaska board chairman for 14 years. He plans to remain on the panel, but the 65-year-old says a heart attack last March means he has to cut back on his commitments.
I think I'm Superman, and I think I can do all the things I did before the heart attack, but that's just me. My family doesn't think so, and I really think that I better step back.
Kukesh also decided not to run for re-election as co-chair of the Alaska Federation of Natives last year. He also held that position for 14 years. Rosita Worrell, vice chair of the Sealaska board, says she's too busy to try to succeed Kukesh.
We've got 13 members who sit on the board, and each one of them are leaders in their own right. So from my perspective, any one of them has the capacity to be the chair and continue with the leadership.
Worrell runs the corporation's cultural arm, the Sealaska Heritage Institute. The board chairman or woman gets a base pay of about $65,000 a year, including health insurance. There's also extra compensation for meetings. Sealaska Shareholders Underground, a group critical of the corporation, says Kukesh's 2012 reimbursement was nearly $76,000. McNeil announced his planned retirement in October after 12 years at Sealaska's helm. The board is accepting applications for his replacement through the end of February. It's hired a San Francisco-based recruiting firm to help with the search. The new CEO will take over at the corporation's June annual meeting. That's the same time the board chairman will step down. Kukesh said he's not worried about continuity of leadership.
If I was stepping off of the board the same time he was stepping out of a CEO, I might be a little bit concerned about it, but I'm still going to be there.
He says he'll run for re-election in 2015 when his board term ends. He was first elected to Sealaska's governing body in 1976. Kukesh spent 16 years in the legislature, 8 in the House and 8 in the Senate. The Angoon Democrat has a law degree, was a commercial fisherman, and owned a lodge and store. Sealaska has more than 21,000 tribal membership shareholders. It's true, the Upper Lynn Canal had a lot of snowfall in December. Downtown Haines received 95.7 inches, or just under 8 feet of snow. There was considerably less in November at 19.4 inches, and the border near Haines is seeing less snow than downtown. But even if the weather isn't feeling very tropical, the snow that's falling is actually traveling north from some more tropical locations. Forecaster Rick with the National Weather Service in Juneau explains.
It's been a very interesting or even strange winter for us this year because while Haines has been getting just lots and lots and lots of snow, the battleground between rain versus snow has been really right along the icy straight corridor. And the weather patterns that producing this, we've had, I won't say continuous, but we've had very steady moisture coming up from deep in the tropics, and it's not necessarily a Pineapple Express, but if you look at, say, a hemispheric satellite image, and specifically if you're looking at mid-level moisture, you can see these repeated connections that go from the lows, that, like right now there's one that's just west of Bristol Bay. And you can see the moisture connection extending all the way down to the tropics.
That's Rick with the National Weather Service in Juneau. We'll have more on our unusually precipitous winter weather on our Monday evening newscast. About 30 people in Haines welcomed the new year by plunging into the slushy seawater at Port Chilkoot on Wednesday. The weather was just above freezing and snowfall had turned to icy rain by the 10 a.m. event on New Year's Day. It's a 9-year-old tradition started by Tom Morfitt, who explained his reasoning for hosting the informal event as he started a bonfire on the beach to keep the participants warm. Here's an audio experience of the windy and rainy morning in Haines.
We stole this event from Juneau, and they usually have it out at Auk Rec, where they have a beautiful pebbly beach, and there's never a breath of wind, and it's usually about 40 degrees. It doesn't translate so smoothly to Haines. As soon as they get their heads wet, they're done, if they want to do that. It's not a swimming event, it's a dip. And the point is that if you do this on New Year's Day, nothing worse can happen to you the rest of the year. Your year can only get better after this. Some traditions are stupider than others.
It's really, really rainy and wet, and there's all sorts of slush on the water, and the fire is barely started.
I'm wearing my boots, though. I gotta keep the boots on, because otherwise what stops me is that my feet cramp up.
It was refreshing, yes. I needed that.
Well, it's an exercise in mortality because you're afraid you're going to die when you go in. And you're surprised you're still alive when you come out.
That's the Polar Bear Plunge into Port Chilkoot in Haines on New Year's Day. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.